This is CliffCentral.com.
Please note that the views expressed and the advice provided in this show are for general advice and entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated should be treated as a substitute for your own independent legal advice based on your own specific facts and objectives. Therefore, the presenter and CliffCentral.com accept no liability of any nature whatsoever, either expressed or implied.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
Grab a book today. Take a look in the book. Take a look in the book, I say. Read a book, okay. And you'll find that your time will simply slip away.
Sanbonani, I'm Gary Hertzberg, and this is The Laws of Life on CliffCentral.com. Alongside me today, as usual, Lionel Makokotlela. Welcome, Lionel.
Thank you, Gary. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to our guest today. And what a show it's going to be.
Absolutely. So our Deputy President, Cyril Ramaphosa, was quoted as saying, and I quote, he said, young people don't read. They want to be educated, but they do not read. They want to learn by rumor and listen to Twitter and Facebook.
Gary.
Which is a harsh indictment on our youth, although he may well have a point.
He may well have a point, but I must say, I mean, our reading today is totally different because most of us don't necessarily go to the libraries. We do Kindle or read online, rather, as opposed to going to the library. But I hope that doesn't necessarily closes the gap of saying, we've got a crisis in our education system, so that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, sure. Okay, to talk about the joy of reading and how it enhances their lives, we are joined by great guests in studio today. Firstly, one of our most talented actresses, excuse me, she's also a singer, she's a dancer, she's a voice artist, she's well known, she's beautiful. She is Chantal Stanfield. Welcome, Chantal.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Good. The crowning glory is that the glorious bush on top of her head is curly and natural, and that's what is so enticing about the whole thing.
Oh, Lord.
She looks like a model, by the way. You should become Miss South Africa.
No, I'm too old.
Oh, no. You can never
and
be
I
old.
And I might probably be too fat for their regulations.
You reckon?
You know that some girls would pay top dollar to get that hairstyle?
I know.
And so many girls are straightening their hair, and I look at you and I say, but look how cool you look.
Hey, it's all about embracing the fro, man.
Yeah. Oh, fro.
You know, let it fro.
I think they call this campus hair or something.
That's what they used to call it. Like back in the hood, that's what the old aunties call this hair, campus hair, because obviously you go to campus and you become intellectual and understand your roots literally and figuratively. And then, you know, that's what it is, campus hair.
Yeah. Our next guest, Sipho, just keep your eyes off Chantal for a moment.
Sipho is how you pronounce it.
Okay. What did I say?
Sipho.
No, I didn't say, I never said Sipho.
Neither.
Never. I would never say that.
Let's go with Sipho for this
one. No, I can't. Okay, so Chantal classifies herself as a bookworm, and she loves talking about books, beautiful books. You read a heck of a lot. That's what you told me.
Yeah, I try. I think it's tricky to find time, but mostly there's always one or two books on the nightstand that I'm in the process of reading. Yeah. So it's not as I'm not as dedicated as I'd like to be, but they're there.
The question is, do you go to bed at night with a book in your hand or with the computer on your lap?
Sometimes a combination of the two. Never the laptop, though. It's always, you know, on the side, but it's either the book or the remote control. Because obviously as a performer, I'm usually watching
TV.
Not fashion TV, but you know, some really great comedies and dramas, you know, as inspiration and just to know what's going on from an acting perspective.
Okay, we'll talk a little more to you, Chantal. Let's join our next guest, Sipho, who thinks I called him Sipho. Sipho Mabaso. Sipho, you're a social entrepreneur and you are the executive chair of readerworld.org.
Mm-hmm. Well, a born reader. Yeah. I'm originally from Soweto. I was born there. I was bred there. And it happens in this country that you live half your life in township, half suburbia. That's been my life generally. But I just read. I can't remember a time when I wasn't reading. I remember my grandmother used to say, clean the toilet, and I would, you know, bathroom, toilet. That
yeah, that
stuff.
Is a cop-out. I'm reading.
Yeah. Grandma, and yeah. she found me reading, and she's like, but I told you, you know, to do your chores. Yeah. And that was what I loved. And she would say to me, look, when you're done reading whatever it is you're reading, do what I told you to do. And that gave me the space to do it. So whether I'm reading off a screen or book printed, it's fine. As long as I'm reading, I just love the actual practice of reading. I don't do it for any particular reason, not to be erudite or anything. I just do it because I love it. Yeah. And I don't care why I love it. I just love doing it. It's what I do.
Sifo, let's introduce our next guest. He's all the way originally from Japan. His name is Tad, we call him, but it's Tadashi Hasunuma. And he runs, or he's the brains behind, a wonderful project. We're going to talk about it in detail. It's called the Sapezi Mobile Library Project. It runs throughout South Africa. He's doing marvelous, 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 I don't have enough adjectives except marvelous, work in South Africa. Welcome, sir. If I can say to you... we are really honored, konnichiwa, and we're honored to have you here.
Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah. Later in the show, we're going to be talking to a journalist from Tshwane. His name is Kabelo Shabalala. We're going to try and get him on the phone. He's with Independent Online. He wrote something marvelous about reading and the lack of it as a child. We'll talk to him about his experiences with a white family and how it prompted him to start reading today. He's a very... I love his work. I follow him a lot. And we'll see if we can get him on the line. If you want to get hold of us, Lionel likes to give out the numbers.
Oh, yes. You can do so on 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189, or at Hertz Law. And I bet you my Gary will do this.
Yeah, H-E-R-T-Z-L-A-W. Is mm-hmm. our Twitter handle, yeah, Hertzlaw.
Certainly, but I must say, today's show is going to be interesting.
If you want to check us out on Facebook, it's The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on Facebook. Please also join the millions of the Cliff Central family and be one of those that has downloaded millions of podcasts off the Cliff Central website.
Certainly.
Yeah, people are downloading it and they're listening in their cars at a later time. And at their leisure, at home, wherever. So please, the podcast come up exactly, what, a half an hour, three quarters of an hour. Smongi, you know that. How long after the show? About three quarters of an hour. 30 minutes. You can pick up the podcast. So it's nearly live. I mean, if you just can't make it because you're somewhere else, just download the podcast. It takes exactly another 30 seconds to get it onto your phone. I've got the app, and most of our listeners have the app as well. Okay, let's talk to Sipho, my boss. Well, Sipho, you've said, and I'm going to quote you, you said, I love reading. I share what I know. There's so much I do not know. My favorite place is?
The library.
The library.
Always.
Yeah.
That's my
Tell us, yeah, about Reader's World, really. That's the project that you run. Tell us about Reader's World.
Well, it's Reader World, actually.
Reader World, yeah.
I started Reader World when I was president of the Johannesburg City Library Book Club. And that's when I began to see that we need to really have a book club culture going on. I had failed completely as a business entrepreneur, and I'm glad for that because it showed me who I truly am, which is a social entrepreneur. And while running that book club, which we institutionalized, I said, look, we need to, I mean, the Johannesburg City actually started it and we came and institutionalized it. I said, we need to form an organization that's going to keep doing this. Because this is required. One thing I realized from reading it is that it says to you the options are unlimited in life. You know, the 204 territories in the world, you would have unlimited opportunities here and everywhere in the world. That's what reading does. And therefore, libraries give you an amazing wealth of knowledge. I mean, there's unlimited books. There's Ngugi wa Thiong'o, there's Keats, there's Yeats, there's Charles Dickens, you know, the Zeksimda, the Mariamaba, there's all kinds, anything you may need from a library. But my idea of a library was Reader World needs to make sure that there is a reading culture in the world. Because it's not only South Africa that's struggling with reading, it's the US, it's many countries. But you would find that in the most advanced countries, like Finland and Japan, TED is here. I don't know what's the problem in the US, but in the most advanced countries, there's actually an established reading culture. You would find that probably 90% of the population reads, and they use their libraries. I mean, Amazon is setting up bookstores. Who thought that would happen? You know, so the library to me is actually an agent of development. And in this country, we need to start making it that. In one of the articles I wrote for the Sunday Independent, I said, the extent to which we use our libraries to advance a reading culture is a measure of development. Because how are you going to sustain economic growth if you don't have a reading culture? People need to know exactly what they're doing. And that is why we have a problem with entrepreneurship as well as economic development, because we don't have a reading culture. Now we need to see libraries as that place of fun where people, if young people want to go to a nightclub, then have them have their party inside the library. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's such a cool idea.
Exactly. It's brilliant. They're surrounded by books. They're having a party.
Yeah.
Even if whether they're listening to Casper and Your Vest or Coldplay, or, I mean, back in our days, we had U2 and so forth. Let them have their party inside the library. Have a book party where they're reading, they're talking about books, they're talking about knowledge, they're gaining wisdom, but they're having their party as well. Mm. You know.
Yeah, so Sipho, you invite people, or how do they get into the libraries? Is it through your invitation, or are people there already? How does this whole club work?
All right.
Reader World.
Yeah. Reader World essentially started with 16 programs, and now we've cut it down to just book clubs. I usually say book clubs are what we do better than anybody else in the world. Hmm. And that's the only thing we do now. And I read that from Jim Collins' book, Good to Great. Arthur Thompson recommended the book to me. He's an HBR, Harvard Business Review kind of guy. And so the book says, choose the one thing you can be the best in the world at, stick to it, focus on it, and be the best in the world at that thing. Make sure. So we decided we're going to follow this advice and just set up book clubs. So the people who come to the book clubs are usually regular library users. The senior librarians and some of the junior librarians at the front desk, when there's someone who's coming in, they inform them that, look, we have a book club at the library. It meets every Thursday or fortnight at 1, 2 to 4. And or we have one for teenagers that meets on a different day. And so everybody knows exactly that there is a book club. The marketing could improve, but you know, they're not marketing specialists, they're librarians. And so they do the best they can, and they're very helpful. It actually doesn't work when the librarians are not involved. They need to be involved. Mm. And so generally, at the book clubs, we usually have about 16 to 20 people who come there on a regular basis, and who will apologize profusely if they cannot come because they're missing out on something. Mm. They feel they're really missing out. People read the books they like. We have something called passion reading. If someone likes automobiles, they will come and review an automobile for us. Mm. If they like flowers, they will come so that people can pursue their passion. So you can live your dream inside a library. That's how it becomes an agent of development, where I can actually go find out about my dream. So the book club is a different book club. Mm-hmm. People can come in and review a series of Suits. They can come and review a series of Banshee or whatever they like.
Yeah.
You know, so that the options are unlimited.
Do they discuss the books with one another after they've read it?
They do. Yeah, yeah. The discussions are quite robust, actually.
Yes.
I must say that there are people who just cannot handle it because everything you say gets questioned. Everything
good,
you say.
Which is good. Because it expands your thinking, right. It expands your communication skills.
Yes.
It also, the way you collaborate the story or how you relate the story to the other person, it must make sense to them in the language that they would understand.
Exactly. Mm. So the people become really questioning what the magic that happens. They become questioning of themselves.
Mm.
When people begin to question themselves, the world becomes transparent to them, and they begin to see exactly what's wrong with them, what's right with them, and begin to fix themselves. So the book clubs actually help to bring about development in communities that wouldn't otherwise have it. So if you have...
Sipho, isn't it a bit of preaching to the converted? I mean, you're actually getting the library, the people that actually come to a library to partake. How do you get outsiders that are not reading into the library? That's the That's the trick, isn't it?
If the choir doesn't sing too well, the congregation won't come to church.
That's brilliant.
So you first get the choir to sing extremely well. So that is why we preach to the converted first. These are not the only people we preach to. So we can begin to build this congregation.
Around them.
Exactly, yeah. Around them, because you got to have that. Yeah. So you build this center first. And then when the center holds, if I may use Tabombegi language, when the center holds, then you begin to have the swirl, whirl and twirl of people who come in. And that's when you get to build a book club that has about 20 people coming on a regular basis.
Sure.
And will be really committed to it. And when you've got that, then you have activities. You have discussions on democracy. You have discussions on astrophysics. You have discussions on investment. And then you bring in people from the stock exchange. You bring people in from the sciences. You bring people in from... I mean, we had Adam Habib come there on March 29. I still remember the date. In 2014. And he came and spoke about reading. And the folks could speak to him face to face. And get the benefit of his wisdom. You know, we had Arthur Thompson from Integrae. He's the CEO of Integrae Fundamental Investments. Come there and talk about investments, talk about equity markets, you know, about credit markets, about what is a ratings agency? What do they do? What is inflation? I mean, you'd be amazed at the kind of damage that has been done by historical oppression. People don't understand what inflation is. They think that the inflation is 6%, whereas for food it's actually 9%. You know, so people get to discover what is my inflation. What is the basket of goods that I buy? And they discover this at a book club. So what we do is we go out into communities and we use the library as an agent, as a moving agent of development. Even if it's bricks and mortar, you got to get out of it and go and speak to people. So we go and set up these book clubs. So when we set up a book club at a library, someone will bring a friend and say, you have to come to this amazing session. I learned so much. If I may make an example, there's a 63-year-old lady who's doing her matric now.
Sure.
She stopped, I think, about 40 years ago and had to go and work, you know, because parents were struggling. Somebody's got to bring food on the table. Because she was coming to the book club for 3 years, she says, I now gained the confidence to actually understand the concepts that I thought I would never understand. I'd rusted so much intellectually that you just brought me back. And now she's doing her matric. And I said to her, you can actually go on to Wits, UJ, wherever, and apply for a degree. She says, what are you talking about? I want a PhD one day. When you're 75, you can have a PhD. Yes. It's never too late. So you get that sense.
Sipa, you are so inspirational. It's an absolute pleasure to listen to you. I think we could keep you here for days.
Century.
Let's just ask Chantal. Chantal, you, where did you grow up?
I grew up in a place called Strandfontein, which is part of the greater Mitchells Plain area in Cape Town. And... Sipo was asking me how long I'd been reading, and I was like, well, I think I was under five at some point. I don't know exactly when, but I know I've been reading all my life. And actually, when Tad was talking about the mobile libraries, it reminded me of when, before we had an actual library in Strandfontein, we had one of these mobile libraries, and you knew that every second week, I think, it would be down at the Civic Center.
Yeah.
And you had to, at a certain time, on a certain day, and you knew that was your only opportunity to either return the book and not get a fine, or get a new book. And my father and I would, that was like our thing. And I think he definitely instilled in me the love of reading. He's more of a non-fiction, business-minded reader. Whereas I'm more about incredible stories.
You're an artist.
I'm an artist, so I like, I prefer the visual books, if that makes sense.
People keep saying that they don't have time to read. I mean, we live in a very fast world, and there's so much. There's Facebook that's keeping us busy for hours, and Twitter and all the rest. Do you have time? You're an actress, you're writing, you're reading, you're talking. Where do you find the time, or is that not an excuse?
I think my actual book club would be quite upset with me if I said that I don't actually have time, because they are full time. Some of them are full time moms, and some of them are working two jobs. And somehow, they manage to finish books sooner than I do, and I kind of have a little more time than they do. But excuse me, I think I'd have to make time. You know, with what I'm doing right now, I'm doing a play at the Market Theatre called Six Characters in Search of an Author, which is quite apt for what we're discussing about books.
Yeah. Tell us a bit about that. And
well, it's an adaptation by Sibusiso Mamba of the Italian classic by Luigi Pirandello called Six Characters in Search of an Author. And it's quite a meta-theatrical piece. It's our director has called it untheatre. It's striving to give the modern audience the same experience that an audience from the 1920s would have had when they went to see this particular piece. It completely turns the idea of theatre on its head, and it's literally these six characters who invade the space of a company who are in the middle of rehearsals looking for an author, and basically spend the next 2 hours trying to convince the director, the actors, that we are real. We as these characters, that's all we want. Just help us change the destiny. Help us finish the story that our author didn't complete. So it's a tragic comedy, meta-theatrical, absurdist piece, which is quite fascinating.
I think we all
got to
get there, Lon.
No, we certainly do, because I think what you just painted right now, it's just so much clearer, and it just makes you really want to just understand this whole theater play that is just unimaginable.
But we as the
are these things properly advertised? Because I don't really get to see much of it. I mean, is your play? Do we? How would we know about it?
I don't know. I suppose.
Sipo, do you know about this?
No, I have no idea.
I suppose we must speak to our marketing department. But it's look. As far as I've seen the posters in town, and I've seen the social media stuff. So apart from that, I'm not really aware of what kind of advertising we're doing. But this is our final week, and we're running until this Sunday. So please come through. We'd love to have.
Okay, give us the name again.
Six Characters in Search of an Author, at the Market Theatre until the 24th of July. So this is the final week.
Do you have any kids?
No, not yet. Yeah.
Okay. I have a little kid, and he's five. We belong to the Santon Library. I can afford to go to a bookstore and buy him a book, but the experience, Sipo, you'll understand that the tranquility, the beauty, there's something special about a library. And there are people hanging out there, but they're all studying. You can see they're sitting at the tables with their whatever books, their varsity books.
Yeah.
There's no one really looking at books from a, hardly.
That
and
is
it
why,
kind of breaks your heart, because there's all these books lying there and they're saying, pick me, and no one is kind of picking them. It's very sad.
I actually went to the Santon Library, and that's what I saw. When you go to most of the libraries, people study. That's a historical issue with inequality. People don't have available spaces to study at home. But that is why Reader World Now, we came to a resolution that we need to create reading libraries. Libraries where people go and read. And they have a book club session, and they have their book parties there, and they do all sorts of things there surrounded by books, because you need a country that reads. Otherwise, you won't have a country that thrives. That's for definite. And you need them reading at five to six. That's why we do this program called Kid Reads, which is kids reading from who are between three and six. Because if you don't do it then, you're likely to fall short. Throughout your life, not just as a teenager or as a youngster, but even when you're 40 and you're working in a corporate world or in a nonprofit world, you're going to fall short because you didn't get the foundational knowledge that is required for understanding, and you will struggle with postgrad as well. Graduate studies, you will struggle a heck of a lot, which is why we don't produce so many PhDs in this country, because there's no reading culture at a younger age. So you need people doing both. Actually, if you did more reading and less studying, you would find yourself needing less time to actually understand the material you have to study. It's because people don't read that they take more time, and they need more resources to understand what they're studying, because reading gives you a wider knowledge. You can draw from many sources.
Sipo, we've got two and a half minutes before we break. I want you to tell a story. It's a bit off point, but it's a fascinating story. It shows you as a man. I kind of your goal, your saying is never give up on your goals.
Never.
And you say that life can be tough if you're on a journey from the bottom to the top. Tell the story of your university fees and that call that you made. I just found it quite touching and special. Tell it. You've got 2 minutes now.
I needed amounts. I mean, I had completely failed as a business entrepreneur, so I was penniless. I had a lot of books, but I didn't have a lot of money. So I had been accepted at Wits for a mid-career honors program. So I needed extra 3,000 to pay my fees so that I could be registered. Mm. You know, there was registration, so they needed about 6,000-7,000. I had only raised 3, so it was the last day. Mm. And I was like, I need to move mountains and break a leg. Mm. So I call the CEO of Zurich Insurance. Wow. His name just escapes me now.
Why him?
Because Zurich works with reading for children. Mm. And reading has a lot to do with the viability of the media industry. Mm. And I thought Zurich would understand. Mm. And Switzerland is a reading country. So I thought Zurich would understand, and I thought as CEO of Zurich, he would understand. Mm. What I needed. And so I called him. I said I need to speak to him. Just his name escapes me. And his PA said, no, but he's not available. And I said, but I need to talk to him now because I've got a deadline. I need to reach this deadline. You better get him here now. Right. No, but he's in a meeting. I said, get him out of that meeting to come and talk to me now.
Oh, wow.
Because I need help now. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait, you know. Mm-hmm. And she sort of tried to fold me off and she hung up. And she said, no, I'll give him a message. And then I called back. I said, but how do you know that he won't see me if it's not him saying that? Mm. Mm. You haven't even spoken to him, but you're telling me he won't see me? Mm. Let him tell me that. You know, bring him onto the phone. And that never happened. But it taught me a lesson because I went around, you know, I tried to find George. I tried to find Kangmo Seneke. It was after 5. I ran around. But then I realized that if I just never give up, I will reach the goal that I need to reach. And so sitting there kind of, you know, despondent a little bit in the morning, I send this message eventually to Arthur Thompson of Integre, and I say, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm an early riser. So I send this message, I say, I have this problem, I'm just trying to get this 3,000 rand and I just don't have it. And he sends back at around 6:30 this message that, look, my friend, I'll do a one-time thing and pay it in. Just give me the details to the Wits account. And that's how I got my registration.
So who paid the money in the end? Let's give the credit to the person.
It's Arthur Thompson of Integre. He's the CEO of Integre Fundamental Investments.
And he paid the 3,000 rand.
Yeah, and I just want to thank him very much.
Beautiful. You know what? You know what the thing is, that most of these people don't realize what a life changer it is for you.
That was a life changer.
That's a life changer. Yeah. So the 3,000 means nothing to him, if I may say that. He's the MD of a massive company.
Exactly.
A very successful and a good company.
Very much.
But it changed your life. It changed my life.
Let me just tell you for a sec how I met him. And just don't count one.
Mm. I'm running out of time. I'll give you 10 seconds.
Give me 10 seconds. He was getting out of his, out of a rent club with his Porsche, and I knocked on his window, driver window. I said, how come you have a Porsche and I don't? You better tell me what you know.
Good point.
Love you, Sipho.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to be talking about these mobile libraries that go around. This is a fascinating story. It's actually something that comes out of Japan. The gentleman in studio is Mr. Hasanuma. He's going to explain it to us. Please don't run away. You've got to hear this. We'll be right back.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Attention all young leaders. Ever wondered how to go from where you are to where you want to be? It's time to take charge of your future. The Unplugged and In Charge radio show is hosting the second annual Young Leaders Seminar. It's a seminar that's relevant to the youth, original, fun, creative, and so not old-fashioned. The Young Leaders Seminar looks to bring together some of the freshest game changers and inspirational celebrity guests. Join us on the 22nd of July at 6 p.m. at the Museion Theatre of University of Pretoria. The power lineup includes Gareth Cliff, Tubi Mboya, the host of the Unplugged and In Charge radio show, and a few surprise celebrity guests. Get your ticket at CompuTicket for 100 Rand and get trending on hashtag YLS2016. The Young Leader Seminar, brought to you by Unplugged and In Charge NPO in association with CliffCentral.com. Because we are the ones we've been waiting for.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on CliffCentral.com.
Grab a book today. Take a look in the book, I say. Read a book, okay. And you'll find that your time will simply slip away.
I'm Gary Hertzberg with Lionel Makokotlela. How's the show, Lionel?
Very fascinating.
Great guest, wonderful guest.
Amazing. So I think we need more than an hour for this.
We got guests on the line as well. Let's talk now to a gentleman. Is your name? Do we call you Tad?
Yes, please. That's much easier.
Tad, your real name is Tadisi Hasanuma.
Yes, it is.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were the managing director of Sony South Africa before you retired.
Yes,
a very, very big position from Japan, and you're living now in South Africa.
Since 1998.
Okay.
So it's almost like a 67.
So you
years.
Decided on retirement, you want to do something for us and for our children, and you did something, you're doing something absolutely spectacular. Quickly, what is it you're doing?
What we are doing.
Yes.
So bring the second-hand, relatively low-mileage book buses from Japan.
Okay, so Japan has book buses, mobile buses, that they discard after a very short time. They're still in great shape. Some of them have only done 40,000 Ks or something. And you bring them into South Africa, discarded buses, used buses, mobile buses. Is that right?
Correct.
It sounds a lot easier than it is, but somebody's got to pay the shipping and someone's got to get it here and all the rest. Who's doing all that?
I have a good number of the sponsors to help this project.
Yes.
We call it the South African Mobile Library Project. And in case of Japan, compulsory educations are in hands of municipality offices, in interesting contrast to South Africa, where provincial department of education is in charge. And of course, there are small school of 20-30 children in Japan too.
Okay, so let's just go slowly now. How many buses have you brought into South Africa?
At this moment, 49 buses.
Wow.
In 9 provinces, are visiting about 900 schools.
Please, folk, if you're listening now, just go to the website called SAPESI, S-A-P-E-S-I.
That's right.
Okay. Have a look at these buses. They are so interesting. How many books go into a bus?
Normally, buses carry 3,000 to 3,500 books.
Sure.
Where are you getting all these books from?
Basically, the operators of buses, provincial department of education, buying lots of mother tongue books.
Yes.
In top of that, my ex company Sony.
Yes.
I talked to my ex colleagues to bring the English children's books because I have a lot of friends in the USA, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, Singapore.
All our Noddies and Famous Fives and all those classics, well, we call them classics, are coming into South Africa from the US and all the English-speaking countries.
That's right.
And they are going into the buses together with books that the Department of Education is buying, local books.
That's right. Okay. That's a combination of the books. Mm.
Now, these buses are being driven around by drivers who are employed by who?
Provincial Department of Education, because they are supposed to make a library services to the schools or to children in South America.
Now, a bus arrives obviously in an area where there's no library. Is that?
That's right. Provincial Department of Education
send
those buses to the schools which do not have libraries.
I've seen some of the pictures that you've shown me. Some of the kids that are taking books out of the buses are not even wearing shoes. So, I mean, we're talking kids that can't afford the basics are getting wonderful books that can change their lives as well. It's a stunning project. It's absolutely stunning.
Brilliant.
As far as Japan is concerned, they're offloading stuff that they wouldn't use. They'd probably dump somewhere. These old. I mean, Japan is the manufacturer of Toyotas and all the rest. So they've got millions of cars there. They don't need these cars and buses. Can they send us some more?
I think we shouldn't talk about Japanese people. We must maybe stop sending.
Yeah, you're right. We must be grateful for what we get. That's absolutely incredible. Sipo?
I've had a chat with Tad, and we talked about how we could get book clubs going on at the mobile libraries because one of the challenges they face is they don't know if the children are reading the books enough. They don't have a way of measuring if the teachers are getting the children to read the books and actually understand. By understand, I mean, how do they then make decisions that show they've learned the wisdom from the books? So we're going to be partnering, I think, Tad. I think you and I, we're going to be partnering to see how we can take reading to the rest of the country. Because if you just bring a bus and there's kids there, it becomes an event. You got to have a program that keeps reinforcing.
Sipo, I love what you're saying. I read some article somewhere. It said that people love going into a bookshop, but they don't necessarily buy the book. They just kind of scratch through it, and they want to see who's there, and they want to have a cup of tea. You know, today the exclusives and that have got coffee shops.
Yes.
What you're saying is exactly possibly what's happening. People are taking the books because they want to be seen to be doing something, but they're not necessarily reading it.
Exactly.
And you need to make it exciting for them.
Yeah.
Your service is so hand in glove with what Tad does that I think the two, one without the other, is a loss.
Precisely. Yeah. I mean, let me make an example. A guy tells me who works for Leapfrog Global, which deals with fourth industrial revolution stuff. He says he's got a five-year-old like you, Garrett. He says his five-year-old has been, you know, so proficient, far more advanced intellectually than his age mates in class, because they've been reading to him since he was 2 years old. And so he's so advanced that the school said, the class in which you're in is just, you know, too low for you. We got to bump you up to a higher class. And he got there and he did well. They said, no, we can't bump you up anymore, but you got to stay in this one. But he's so advanced because he's reading all the time. So the work that Tad is doing is actually great. So we need to actually drill in, because you bring in the books. So we need to drill in and make sure that there's quality.
Absolutely.
So that it changes the quality of life of the people.
How do you feel about that, Tad? Do you think there's a need for that?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Especially teachers in schools in the rural area need a lot of professional support.
Yeah,
how to organize reading clubs and so on.
Absolutely.
So I think, the support would be highly appreciated.
Good. Yeah. We have a call online. It's Kabelo Shabalala. Kabelo?
Good day, sir.
How are you, Kabelo? Talk up, because we need to hear you loud and clear.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Kabelo, you wrote an article which piqued my interest, P-I-C-Q-E-E-D, U-E-D, P-I-C-Q-U-E-D. It was Why Reading is a Big Part of My Life. Now, why I like this so much, Kabelo, you're a boy that at seven you went with your family to visit family, and there were white kids next door and you couldn't converse with them. Is that kind of the story, and you want to explain on that?
Yeah, well, I grew up in a village, and I proudly call myself a village boy. And growing up in our village, I guess we were oblivious to the fact that English is actually the medium of communication. And that was, of course, influenced by the fact that at school, I used to speak Soto, I used to speak Setswana. And that trip in that December holiday changed everything, because I was not only with people of a different color or shape, but I was also around people who speak a different language to mine. And there was that communication barrier, which I thought one has to do something about it. And as I explained in the article, it wasn't more of me and not being able to communicate with them. I wasn't shameful about it, but I realized that English is one language that I had to learn. Not because I had to communicate with other English-speaking people, but because it's a universal language. Whether they can speak my Sotho or not wasn't the point. The point was, in order for me to thrive, in order for me to get my messages across, I will have to learn the language and be able to speak it.
Wow, Kabelo, it's Lionel here, Gary's contributor. I just love your story. But I just want to expand further on this, because I just like to believe that African languages have not been brought to the table of knowledge, what do you think we as the youth of South Africa can actually do to really mobilize the spirit or the philosophies of African languages to the global world out there, just so that they also get to know who we are and our traditions and our cultures and how we do things?
Could you answer that question, Lance?
No, I could.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good
yeah.
He's
a journalist. He should.
he's a great journalist.
Yeah, he's a
brilliant. This is one of the top.
We went to the same varsity, by the way.
Do you know Cabello?
You went to TUT, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I went to TUT main campus, but you were in the journalism because I used to be a writer, a reporter for Taxi newspaper. But I didn't know of you then, but I knew that you were studying journalism. And if my memory serves me well, you did your master's in journalism.
I did my BTEC in journalism.
Oh, great.
And I did register for my MTEC, which I'm too busy with.
All right.
Yeah, but to answer your question, there's a, like I said, I love my Sotho. I'm a proud Pedi Tsonga boy because, I mean, my mom is Tsonga, my dad is Pedi, and I can speak both languages. But unfortunately, I can't go to Turkey and start speaking Tsonga or Sepedi. It does not mean I'm not proud of who I am.
Mm.
It just shows that our languages are not at a point where they can be discussed universal. And that is a fact. But when I'm home, even when I'm in the office, my bosses are white. They are English speaking, some are African speaking. Sometimes, once in a while, I just decide I go blonde on them and I speak my Sotho and I speak my Zulu until they get the message across. Because honestly speaking, as much as this is a daily routine where I'm supposed to speak English, because I mean, it's constitutional, and we should also be cognizant of that. As much as our Zulu, our Swahili, our Venda, our beautiful African languages are important to us, they are not at a point where they can be the medium we use to discuss issues universally. And that is the point. Mm. Universally, at least know your English so that you can communicate with people from various sides of the world, from various places. And that is why I'm not saying... We do speak in Sotho during my group discussions with the boys.
Mm.
Now we're encouraging them to get books that are written in Sotho and Setswana so that they don't leave behind their own languages, so that they can write, they can speak, and they can actually converse properly in those very same languages. So we love our African languages. Unfortunately, the world doesn't know them. And
great.
Until such a point, we can't really change that.
Okay, Cabello, thank you very much for that point. But I think also just to expand on this, because I know you've got a group that you actually do mentoring for the kids in the rural areas.
He does, yeah.
Can you just give us a synopsis of what sort of work you do, what sort of discussions you guys have on a regular basis when you meet?
On a normal day, like this coming Saturday, we start at 1 o'clock, and because they've been reading books for the past 2 weeks during the holidays, that will be the starting point. They need to write 400 to 500 words book reviews.
Wow.
For 30 minutes, that's what I give them. I allocate them 30 minutes to write those book reviews. From then, we come together. We start discussing the different books. How did they feel? What did they learn about it, those books? Because they were reading the same title. So it's easier for them to converse about that book and come together. And I must say, from that point is another discussion. They're boys. Is they seem important at their age? What do they think about? What do they see when they see a woman in class? In the street, so that they give you a perception of what they really think. Some will say, when it's a beautiful lady, I just see a girl I want to date. I want to make her my girlfriend. Some will talk about different things. I just want to be friends with them. But
right.
The essence of the whole discussion is just to try and find out.
Great stuff, Cabello.
Many thanks for this. I know you've said that you believe readers are leaders and leaders are readers.
Readers.
Good stuff. Thank you for this, Cabello. Nice to
can
talk.
Can I make one point?
Yeah, quick. Yeah.
We still need more books, and if people
Tad is
like
here.
Contact us, they must. No, seriously, they must go on Twitter, find me Cabello J K A B E L O J A Y, and on Facebook it's Cabello Chabalala, and alternatively my email is cabello03chabalala@gmail.com for more contributions and just to grow this. Whole
yeah, I think we can try and link everyone up from the show.
We'll do the linking after the show.
After the show, many thanks.
Thank
Cabello.
You very much for your time.
Sorry,
Cabello.
Guys, one more call. Let's take a call. Tanya Mayer. Hi, Tanya.
Hello.
Hello. Where are you right now, Tanya?
I am trying to find a spot with a good signal.
Are you in Johannesburg, Cape Town? Where are you?
I'm currently on campus.
Which campus?
On the main campus. In
Stellenbosch. Okay, so yes. Tanya, last year you were a schoolgirl, weren't you?
Yes.
And you started something fantastic. Quickly tell us what it is, if we don't hear you, we're going to have to cut. I'm sorry, but try and see what you can get out there.
Okay, so I started a little free library when I was in Holland 2 years ago for an exchange. I came across this idea and I thought, okay, let me bring it to South Africa. And what the little free library is about is it's pretty much a little post box that you put up, fish tank, anything that you construct, put outside your house or in a park. And from there, you put books in there. And the idea is that you motivate the community to give and take books as you go. So the idea is that it's a sense of giving from the community and it encourages people to read without them having to go to a full-fledged library, but go to an interesting little spot.
Now, are the books to be returned or people can take them away? What's the deal?
Sorry,
did you hear me? Are the books can you take the books forever or do you have to return them?
The idea is it works in a sense of courtesy. So what you do is you would go there with your own book, would trade the book. So you would put the book into the library and from there you can choose any book you'd like. So it sort of works in an honesty system. And I think for me that in South Africa encourages people to see that the community has the sense of giving and you can trust people. Mm.
Yeah, I think your first little library was at the zoo or Zoo Lake or somewhere. Where was it?
Yeah, I started it up in Imarinta Dam. It's the first little free library in Africa, so that was quite momentous.
We need to find you, Tanya.
That's so cool.
Brilliant, Tanya. Yeah. Keep up the good work, I must say. It's brilliant work that you're doing.
Yeah, she's been complimented by City Parks.
Wow.
Jenny Moodley said that you know, they praised her. They said it's an amazing initiative, and we're very excited to support it. And the City Parks did support it, didn't they?
Yes. Before I put up the library, I constructed the library, and from there I talked to City Parks and the Emerentia Residents Association and the Rotary Club of the area, and we all got together on the day of the opening, and we initiated it, and the word got round.
Yeah, you're a good little egg, Tanya Mayor. Well done to you. I hope you do lots of these all over. How many books are there at any one time, roughly?
Oh, I actually have a whole box of books that I have as spares to put in the library, but I haven't been able to put any books into the library because it's always been packed. So great.
Good. Okay, good luck with your studies in Stellenbosch. Thank you for this. Keep up the very good work. Yeah.
I will. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Gary.
Yeah. What do you say to that, Sipho?
Well, we are going to get hold of her for certain.
Yeah.
We're going to find her and make sure that this can become bigger in more places. Because if you have a reading culture being created from many angles, not just the Reader World angle, but you know, Ted's program as well, Sapisi, and Tanya's program, and you have people like myself and many others reading. That's great. So you got to tackle it from many angles.
Mm-mm.
You know, you can't tackle it from one. So we're going to get hold of Tanya, because I'm sure in Stellenbosch, with all the fees must fall problems, we can get people reading when they're not doing fees must fall. Huh?
Yeah, our researcher Benji's chomping at the bit. Benji, you want to add something?
Yeah, I've been dying to ask this question to all your guests in studio. I mean, how can we encourage the younger generation to read when they're so consumed by their iPads, Facebook, and this latest craze that they now call Pokemon Go?
Pokemon Go.
You have them looking for books on Pokemon Go.
We just need to be innovative.
You know, well, if I may, I'm not so sure if I would still qualify as a young person. You know, as we go into the end of the 35-year bracket, we're not youth anymore, supposedly. But I just want to, I mean, the experience that I have right now, we're a group of ladies who we have a book club. Now, I know ladies who have a book club, that sounds really boring and, you know, very prim and proper and all of that. But we call ourselves the Mutual Appreciation Society Socializing Over Drinks. So we don't have, as we've grown from about 5 to 6 now, each couple of months, we're hopefully adding one or two more peoples. But it's really, it's a matter of we share each other's books. So we don't have a book that we all read at one time. because, you know, we all have different schedules and nobody reads at the same pace. Yeah. So we all, you know, we are all reading different books at the same time, and we gather every month or so over drinks. We each choose a place we're going to go and enjoy the food and drinks at that particular month. And we gather, we enjoy our drinks. Some of us are pregnant, so we can't have alcohol.
I thought you had a tea party.
No, not quite a tea party.
The voice you're listening to is that of Chantal Stanfield. Chantal, you've been on, I don't know how many soapies and TV things, and just brag a little. Tell us what you've done.
Yeah. Well, people might recognize me from Sia Mandelan. I was Vince's baby mama back in 2006 and 2007. People still remember the storyline quite vividly.
Yeah, it's famous.
Another series was Montana, which was on SABC 1. We did two seasons of that, shot in Cape Town, which is fantastic. Lots of theater, cabaret shows, various TV films, whatever. I mean, you've probably actually even heard my voice on the radio, doing voiceovers for MTN and Mac and all these.
Okay,
products.
So if anyone's listening for someone very talented, it's this lady in studio, Chantal Stanfield, with the bushy hair. Love it. Yeah. Yeah. Your husband's not trying to get you to straighten it, is he?
Oh, yeah. Lord, no. I wouldn't be married to him if he was trying to do that. I would definitely, I mean, for the younger folks, so to speak, I mean, there's that the idea that reading is quite a stuffy, proper thing to do.
But yeah, it's uncool.
It's not cool. It's just not. It's just not done. But I tell you, the amount of fun that we have as this little group of ladies who lunch, so to speak, have about discussing books and ideas and ideologies. It really expands your mind further than just the little world that you grew up in. I mean, I'm this little girl from Strandfontein.
Where is that exactly?
It's literally, people get confused with Strandfontein and Strand, which is further down the peninsula. Mm. But Strandfontein is literally between Musenberg and Mitchell's Plain.
Could you speak Afrikaans before you spoke English?
Yeah, ik het Afrikaans gepraat eigenlijk. It's not, it's quite a colloquial Afrikaans, which is actually where Afrikaans stemmed from. But, you know, there's a world that opens up as soon as you start reading. And I was just telling Sipo that the first piece of theater that I was in was Oliver Twist, the musical. And I only recently read the actual book, I think, in my 20s, because I thought, obviously, it's a classic and I have to read it. And, you know, there's some classics that you get into and some that you can't. I'm still, at this moment, still trying to finish Wuthering Heights 2 years after buying it. Because it's quite a cumbersome book. And if you leave it for too long, you have to reread the last 10 pages of it.
It's a brilliant book.
And obviously, there's beautiful books out there. I mean, I made a list of my favorite books because I knew that I might be asked.
Yeah, call out a few, yeah.
I mean, my favorite books that I've read in the last couple of years were All Quiet on the Western Front, The Prophet, The Four Agreements, Letters to My Daughter, Maya Angelou, The Mountains Echoed, Khaled Hosseini, The Only Black at the Dinner Party, Eric Mueni, which was an eye-opener for me because coming from where I came from and experiencing what I had experienced, I would always had this sense of discomfort at being the only person of color at like major events, and that book in particular was quite an eye-opener. And obviously it's a South African piece. Books are not just a matter of fantasy. It's a matter of exploring your horizons and challenging those questions or ideas that you have about yourself and your worldview. And it just, I don't know, just makes you sound more intelligent, actually.
The Prophet challenged you quite a lot.
Oh, definitely. But I found with the Khalil Gibran books that you can't find the book. The book has to find you. Like there's certain points in your life that you are able to digest a book. His books, I feel, are like that.
May I just read out quickly? Southafricaninfo.co.za says the following classic. Sipho, you'll know this. First of all, Cry the Beloved Country, Alan Paton. Yeah. The Heart of Redness, Zakes and Da. Yeah. Mafeking Road and Other Stories, Herman Bosman.
I haven't read that one.
Yeah. Fools and Other Stories,
Jabulani Ndebele.
Welcome to our Hillbrow, Pazwane Mpe. a place called Fatma, A-H-M, Skaltz.
Fatma, yeah.
Fatma. Mm. He was hailed as the Steinbeck of the coloured South African platteland.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Ancestral voices, Etienne van Heerden, a dry white season, we all know, André Brink, and yeah, story of an African farm. These are the classics, South African classics, that if anyone's listening and they haven't read one of these, just go ahead and get it out the library.
I need that list. Yeah. I need that list from you. I need to get all of them.
Southafricaninfo.co.za and look up, I'll give it to you, but there it is, Southafricaninfo.co.za.
Brink actually wrote Felida as well, which is based on research he did on his family.
That was an incredible book.
Yeah.
I just read it.
Exactly. Yeah. And he found that in his family that there had been slave owners.
Mm.
And he was just completely thrown out of kilter by this because he never thought his family engaged in that kind of thing.
This show's gone by. I'm sorry to cut you. Oh, yeah. We need another show like this. I tell you what I want to do. I want to get us all back again, please, in the future.
Sure.
And I'd like to see how we've collaborated, all of us, between the Japanese people and yourself and the wonderful initiative. I think we could do something more.
Definitely.
I hope so. And
I think I'll invite Sipo. Yeah. Or to make a bus ride. Or the mobile library to go to school.
We would love that.
In Cape Town, maybe.
For sure.
And let's go and make a bus ride to visit the schools and promote book readings to children of South Africa.
To our wonderful... We're going to hold you to that.
Of course we invite you.
Thank you very much. I'm passionate about reading. For my little boy, I'm passionate. And for our people, I'm passionate. Sipo Mabaso, what a treat, sir. Thank you for this.
Thank you, Gary.
We battled to get you because you're not easy. Yeah. But we got you.
You're comparing me to the president.
No, I'm sorry. Definitely not. Chantal Stanfield, the beautiful and talented lady. And then Tadasi Hassanuma, thank you, sir, for being your generosity as well. You've been very generous out of your own pocket. Mm. You pay for many things.
Mm.
But anyway, that's your goodness. To Lionel, thank you, Lions. You've been great as usual.
Thank you very much, Gary.
And then to our researcher, Benji Scheinberg. Thanks, Benj. We've got a new controller today, and we didn't even introduce her. She doesn't want. She says, nah, leave me alone.
She's very shy.
She's too beautiful for radio.
He's such a smoothie, Sipo. Okay, if you want to come forward and give us some stories, we're here for you. law@cliffcentral.com. Also, if you want to compliment us, which I'm sure sometimes you may, or you want to criticize us. Twitter handle, as usual, @HertzLaw. And there's a book I'm reading. It's about anti-gravity. It's impossible to put down. What if you got that right?
Any drug.
It's corny. On that note, thanks for listening. And until next Wednesday at 12 noon, I'm Gary Hertzberg.
Thank you.
Law, like you've never heard it before. The Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg on cliffcentral.com.